Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. personality of Godhead. Kapila,
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 O
King.
O King.
Translation. O King, Lord Shiva, Narada, the sage amongst the demigods, and Kapila, the incarnation of Godhead, all know very confidentially about his glories through direct contact. Pure devotees of the Lord are all bhavas, or persons who know the glories of the Lord in different transcendental loving services. As the Lord has innumerable extensions of his plenary form, there are innumerable pure devotees of the Lord who are engaged in the exchange of service of different humors. Ordinarily, there are 12 great devotees of the Lord, namely Brahma, Narada, Shiva, Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Prahlada, Bhishma, Janaka, Shukadev Goswami, Bali Maharaj, and Yamaraj. 12 great devotees. Bhishma Dev, although one of them has mentioned only 3 important names of the 12 who know the glories of the Lord. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one of the great acharyas in the modern age, explains that Anubhava, or the glory of the Lord, is first appreciated by the devotee in ecstasy, manifesting the symptoms of perspiring, trembling, weeping, bodily eruptions, etc., which are further enhanced by steady understanding of the glories of the Lord. Such different understandings of bhavas are exchanged between Yashoda, the Lord, finding the Lord by ropes, and in the chariot driven by the Lord in the exchange of love with Arjuna. These glories of the Lord are exhibited in his being subordinated before his devotees, and that is another feature of the glories of the Lord. Shukadev Goswami and the Kumaras, although situated in the transcendental position, became converted by another feature of bhava and turned into pure devotees of the Lord. Tribulations imposed upon the devotees of the Lord constitute another exchange of transcendental bhava between the Lord and the devotees. Should I repeat this sentence? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh my God, this is a really revolutionary sentence. Tribulations, that is some external misery, imposed upon the devotees by the Lord, constitute another exchange of transcendental bhava between the Lord and the devotees. It's a relationship of love. The Lord says, I put my devotee into difficulty, and thus the devotee becomes more purified in exchanging transcendental bhava with me. Placing the devotee into material troubles necessitates delivering him from the illusory material relations. The material relations are based on reciprocation of material enjoyment, which depends mainly on material sources. Therefore, when material resources are withdrawn by the Lord, the devotee is 100% attracted towards the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Thus, the Lord snatches the fallen soul from the Maya, like entanglement of material existence. Very clear. Tribulations offered by the Lord to his devotees are different from the tribulations resulting from vicious action. All these glories of the Lord are especially known to the great Mahajans like Brahma, Shiva, Narada, Kapila, Kumara, and Bhishma, as mentioned above. And one is able to grasp it by their grace. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Vinyane Namaste Sarasvate Gauravani Prasadine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Jai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gauravakshavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Asya Nubham Bhagavan Redaguyataman Shiva Deva Shirnarada Sakshat Bhagavan Kapilo Nipa. O King, Lord Shiva, Narada, the sage among the demigods, and Kapila, the incarnation of Godhead, all know this very confidentially. All know very confidentially about his glories through direct contact. I wanted to request all of us to meet another time on the wonderful philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Here, Grandfather Bhishma talks about these great exalted devotees who do know the Lord through direct contact. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who has explained that the Anubhava, or the glory of the Lord, is first appreciated by the devotee in ecstasy, manifesting the symptoms of perspiring, trembling, weeping, bodily eruptions, etc., which are further enhanced by steady understanding of the glories of the Lord. So, this describes a little bit how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to make people who came in contact with him Krishna conscious. He actually gave them in their heart this bhava, or great exalted divine consciousness, Krishna consciousness, that as a result of experiencing this bhava, the devotees would show symptoms like perspiring, trembling, weeping, bodily eruptions, etc. I remember a few of Lord Chaitanya's leelas in this connection. I would like to tell you one lila, how Lord Chaitanya gave bhava to an individual, and then I would like to tell you how he gave it to many, many people, and through this gift of transcendental bhava, or motions, all the devotees were able to understand the Lord and come to the highest level of Krishna consciousness. One time, or let us say, the household of Srivas Pandit used to keep a tailor. The tailor was engaged in making the different clothes for the many family members of Srivas Thakur. For instance, he made some kurtas for the man who needed the kurtas. And he made all kinds of clothes which are required in the, for the members of the household. So once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was going every evening to the home of Srivas Thakur, decided to give Krishna consciousness to this tailor, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not think, because he is a Muslim, he was a Muslim, therefore he should not get this transcendental love of Godhead. But he gave this bhava, this highest state of Krishna consciousness, right into the heart. Just like I take this glass case, it's for the spectacle, and I can place it on this table. In the same way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can take love of Godhead and place it into the heart of those he comes in contact with. And now, he did this in case of the tailor of Srivas Thakur's house. When Srivas Thakur received this love of Godhead, he could see the Lord in his true glory, and he was so ecstatic, he exclaimed, "I have seen, I have seen, I have seen." Another example of how Lord Chaitanya placed this transcendental Krishna consciousness not just in the heart of a single individual, but into a group, is when he visited Vidyanagara. Many people knew Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from his time when he was in Navadvip, and they were very sad when he had left Navadvip in order to take sannyas in Katwa and then go to Puri. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Navadvip again, and all the people who heard that he is in Vidyanagara wanted, of course, to see him. There were many, many people, but very few boats. So the people came and they all went on the boats, and like Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj told us yesterday, sometimes these boats in India are filled beyond capacity, much more than fit. I've seen these boats, they're full of cows sometimes. People with bicycles and motorcycles enter the boats, and it's, you wonder as a European, how do they all fit in the boats? But they do fit somehow, because it's India. All the people wanted to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they naturally all climbed into the boats, but this time the boats were clearly too much full. The people climbed in the boats, and then on top of each other they also climbed and climbed, and it's a pile of human beings, like a mountain in the boat. And they went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because they had heard he's on the other side of the Ganga. Not only, so when people saw that the boats were too full, they took these clay pots and they just full of air and put them topsy-turvy in the water, and then holding onto the clay pots, they crossed the water. You must know, Indians don't know to swim mostly, in most cases. I have, that's amazing. And if they swim, it really looks as if, I don't want to give an example, it sounds disrespectful, but it really looks like a panic attack when they swim in the water. I don't want to be disrespectful, but it's not like when Govindananda jumps in the Adriatic Sea and swims with such elegance, like an Olympic swimmer. No, they don't really know. So all these people, when they saw that the boat was full, but they wanted so much to come that they somehow made all these funny arrangements with clay pots and some cut banana trees and pulled onto the banana trees. And others just tried to swim, you know, and nothing was possible. And by the Lord's mercy, they all reached. Yes. All the boats, they toppled and they sank in the ocean, in the water of the Ganga, because there were just too many people on them. But they all somehow reached, not one single person drowned. And then they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before the house. And Lord Chaitanya, you must know, this was just flooding them with this Baba, and they immediately came to the highest level of Krishna consciousness. Immediately. I find this very significant, because very often we talk about transformation of the heart, transformation of the being, and then different theories how to attain these transformations. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, he basically attained transformation. He reached the art of transformation by just giving Baba or love of Godhead into the hearts of people. Now, when you feel this love of Godhead, you will develop three desires. The first desire is you somehow or other want to meet Krishna. It is your greatest need. You want to meet Krishna. And then the second desire is, when you meet him, you want to serve him. And the third desire is, when you meet and serve him, you want that he's pleased. And this describes your entire being, this Baba. Do we know this in our lives, that sometimes we are occupied with a thought which begins to take hold of our entire being? Maybe on Sankirtan, I have experienced that I really wanted to give these books, and I had for some time no other thoughts than to distribute the books. Or I can imagine, I've seen in Grihastha Ashram, one of our Berlin Grihasthas, they got a child, and they used to be very active in a well-known photographer, in photography. They used to be very active in traveling, but now with their little son Narada, they are really a Narada consciousness. The father doesn't travel any longer very much to make his photographs and to earn a livelihood, because he feels he has to see Narada, his son, every 2 days. Otherwise he would feel incomplete. Also, the mother is totally occupied with thoughts of taking care of the little Narada son. These are just some examples means of being totally occupied with something. So when a devotee is in bhava, he becomes similarly occupied with the three thoughts which we have discussed. Would you like to tell me what are the three thoughts which totally, let me say, occupy a devotee who has bhava? He wants to serve Krishna, he wants to serve Krishna, and he wishes to please Krishna. Thank you, you were very attentive, thank you very much. This comes as a result of exalted Krishna consciousness. And what is so amazing is that this was given, believe it or not, to all types of peoples by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These people who crossed the Ganga in order to see him, when they jumped into the Ganga, not really devotees, but they are really devotees. It's difficult to say this about Navadvipasis, but they had they certainly did not understand Lord Chaitanya as who he is. Thank you, Mila. Thank you so much. But when they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they got this love from him in the heart, and maybe they also shouted, "I have seen, I have seen," like the tailor who worked for Srivas Thakur's household. How is it possible for us to become transformed? Is it possible, sometimes wonder, that Lord Chaitanya also blesses me with bhava? Is it possible that one day we will get up and we perspire, we tremble, we weep, we have bodily eruptions, that is goose pimples, out of love of Krishna, out of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy? It is a question. I think if someone is very focused on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, serving him consciously, it is possible to experience these type of transformations which we have narrated, at least especially the transformation of desire, and that we all of a sudden move out of the center of our world, but we put Krishna in there. Do you sometimes think about what will happen if you become a great devotee? Or have you given up this hope? It's an important question. And I can imagine that if you tell someone, "This is bhava, you perspire," then they would think, oh no, I don't want to do this, because then I have to buy so much deodorant, and so on. I remember when we were in the Govardhan retreat and we read these symptoms of bhava, the devotees took it in a material way, and what? I will weep, I will tremble. They did not really know that there is life beyond this material consciousness. And they're surprised. What's new devotees? Okay. Now I wish you all the best in your own process of transformation. And Srila Prabhupada would always tell us, don't really look for these external symptoms. They are not necessary for someone who is. They are byproducts. The real transformation has to take place in the heart, And when we speak of transformation of the heart, we immediately speak of transformation of desires. Because the desires sit on the throne of our heart, where Krishna should be sitting, and if we really make advancement, these desires will be directed towards Krishna. We will wake up one morning and think, how is Krishna? Can I do something to please him today? This will become very natural if our heart is slowly but surely purified from the unwanted things which avoid that this takes place. Yeah, this is what I wanted to explain on this verse. O King, Lord Shiva, Narada, the sage amongst the demigods, and Kapila, the incarnation of Godhead, all know very confidentially about his glories through direct contact. I want to now see if there are any questions which you would like to ask, either on this verse and the subject matters, or in general, because today I feel in the morning we should try to end in time, because there are many services which are lying maybe neglected because of so much happening over the week. I have seen Govinda has a question, Govinda Nanda has a question, and Krishna Laya, let us, and Arya, let us start with these four. Yes?
Thank you very much. Often, during your lecture, you said these are serve Krishna and please Krishna, like they're two different things. I was thinking that serving is actually meant to please him, that it should be together. Can you a little bit clarify the distinction between that?
Rupa Goswami talks about bhakti, and he gives, as you all well know, three characteristics, qualities, and one is one should serve the Lord with the conscious intention to please him. There's a Sanskrit word, abhilashita, the desireness, all your desires work towards pleasing him. Now, you say, but isn't that redundant? I mean, to serve Krishna, could you do it in any other way than trying to please him? Yes, you can do it. You can do it. It's described that there are different stages of devotees, and one stage is they want to enjoy the service for themselves. For instance, a preacher gets donations, and if he does a service with the idea to get donations so that he can maybe purchase things which might be new computers maybe, or no cars, or but to please himself, that is possible. That's seen, it's described, and this is a difficult. It's also described in service to the guru. There are the servants who want to please the guru, and there are those who want to please themselves, the Sanskrit word. For instance, they come and they want to be seen on a photo next to the guru, and then they show this. What I find out, many of us want to, by doing service, they want to build up their ego. There is something like, you could call it spiritual narcissism. What this is that the person will find himself very unimportant in the material world or very dissatisfied, and then he cannot live with this dissatisfaction, and he therefore, out of this motivation, goes into a spiritual movement, and there he quickly wants to have a feeling of importance. I am more important, more qualified than the Karmis, for instance. He may think, oh, my religion, Islam, is better than Christianity, and so on. And they misuse religion to bring their lack of confidence in themselves to come to a higher level. They often look down upon others who are not on that level. And this is, religion can be used or misused to really inflate the ego, in other words. And there is a clinic in Germany with whom I made contact, which is quite, they have vegetarian food. Many people who come there have, you know, come from different spiritual movements and religions, Christianity, and they really suffered from, you know, a very morbid, it means ill, sense of narcissism, because they used religion to somehow inflate their sense of being in a minus. You can find this even in our circles. Sometimes there may be, I don't know, but there may be signs. I know in the old times, I'm stopped to look at devotees with this psychological eye. But before I joined the movement, I was very interested in psychology. But I've stopped because it's not. Krishna looks at different at his devotees. But, you know, a narcissist is someone whom you just cannot correct. He is, because if you would try to correct him, he would have to give up his concepts, and he just has worked so hard to develop this self concept of himself with so much muscle power. He has done this, and if you correct him, he feels his world feels comes in falls asunder. So this is these are all, you ask the question, serving Krishna, pleasing Krishna, is that the same? No, it's unfortunately not. You can serve Krishna in order to build up your own empire, you know, and your own little world. That is possible. In other religions, we see that very clearly. I don't think we see it so much in devotee, because we so much stress to another people. It's very clear. But no, it sometimes can even must be treated by the clinic. It can go so bad. Motivation is very, very important in devotional service. The intention, very important. Rupa Goswami therefore makes this verse, Anyabhilashitashamu Jnana Kamadhi Jnavitam Anukulina Krishnamu Shilanam Bhakti. For bhakti, it must be even, he says, it must be free from the desire to enjoy sense gratification and also intellectual speculation. So he wouldn't mention it, it wouldn't be an issue. And it must be done with the body and the mind and the senses, with the conscious intention to please Krishna. I like this. take it.
My question is regarding material emotions. In my life I considered they're very powerful energy, material emotions, and sometimes if they are unpleasant, then it seems like there's a whole labyrinth of emotions which prevents us to approach higher levels of relationships and dealings with other than dealing with the Lord. So my question is, in Vaishnava tradition, what is the proper way to deal with these stuck emotions and maybe pain and dizziness that is not resolved?
The way I heard Srila Prabhupada explaining how to deal with emotions was based on a, or is on a is based on a verse of Narottam Das Thakur, who tells us that we can engage our emotions, even though they are material, in Krishna's service, and when we come in contact with Krishna, these emotions will become purified. I believe you are aware that has been often said, all emotions can be used except for enviousness. That is something which is cannot be used in Krishna service, but greed, for instance. You want to hear more and more about Krishna. I decided in my life, I'm greedy for new books, you know, because I can learn about Krishna from them, and maybe you've watched when a new book is, whether you lock your cupboard, because everything can be used in, and you put it in relationship to Krishna. That's an amazing. There is a verse in the 10th canto which explains why this works. Put Krishna somehow or other, even with material emotions in your heart, because the verse is about the demon Akasura, the snake. And he somehow internalized Krishna, not through meditation like it's normally done, but he actually physically swallowed Krishna and wanted to bring him down. And then Lord Krishna was in his throat and blocked his life as, and I don't want to tell the whole pastime, but Agasura died and his soul came out of the body, a snake body. When Krishna came out, the soul had just waited for this. It came into the transcendental body of Lord Krishna. Wonderful result, you know, for a demon. Shukadeva Goswami makes the point that he brought Krishna into his mind by force, into himself by force, by swallowing him. So an immature person, who is not totally attracted to Krishna, will also forcefully chant, Hare Krishna, again. He will force himself, and he will force himself to look at the deities of. Even maybe sometimes force himself, my God, I heard in the lecture, I should think of Krishna. Maybe I should, let me see. Yes, Krishna is blue. What else I know? He plays a flute. Yes. He somehow forces his mind to think of Krishna because he had heard it so many times. And he said, maybe I should do it, you know. And there is, even by this forced method, there's high result, because No matter how you come in contact with the sun, it's always bright, you know. It always takes away the darkness. So no matter how you come in contact with Krishna. I mean, I came to Krishna consciousness not with high motives. I was very, very disappointed in material life. Very disappointed. I could not see any future for me, although there was so much money and so much opportunities for material life, but I just felt I had tried a little to... I mean, how much can you try up to 15 years of extra? But whatever I could try, I tried, and I remained dissatisfied. So this is not the spiritual motive. I wanted to be free from this frustration in my life. And I did not have the idea to please Krishna, but still, by chanting slowly, sometimes I see that something has changed from before, because that is transformation. So whatever material emotions are there, and we have emotions, I mean, especially strong emotions can be there for all of us, and like when you're a very angry person, sometimes out of our frustrations in the material life, we have something like we can easily be angry and very angry. So you have to first of all recognize that I'm a little bit intense by nature. Let me be angry on the non-devotees who disturb Krishna's devotees. Let me not use my anger towards devotees who try their best. So in this way you can purify the anger. Even that is possible. Like, yeah, there are stories about Hanuman this is just too much, you know. He was fighting with the generals, and then one general came and talked bad about about Ram. What did he do? He urinated into his mouth. He's very angry. We don't want to even think of this image, because it is not to be meditated about, but he was really angry. You know, before you do such a thing, you must be very angry at the other person. Once, Hanuman was narrating before Sita and Ram how he found Sita in the Ashokvan, and he said all the flowers were red in the Ashokvan, and I saw these beautiful red flowers, and then I saw Mother Sita, and I went to her and gave her your ring. And Mother Sita said, "Wrong, Hanuman, the flowers were white." I was there. No. But I came there. They were red. No, Hanuman, this is detail. You have this detail is wrong. Then Lord Ram spoke. Sita is right and Hanuman is right. Sita was always saw the flowers, they were red, but because Hanuman was so angry at Ravan, you know, through the glasses of his anger. So you can see here anger is used in the service of Lord Ram, and Hanuman, we cannot even start to praise Hanuman, so much beyond. So what I see in this Govindananda, that everyone has a chance, except those who are envious, means have bad feelings about us. We must be careful, but you know the sense. I mean, I don't want to repeat this point, but everything else is all right. And we can be the person we are and just engage in Krishna. But that's risky. We have all the material emotions. Sometimes they can be dangerous, you know. So you must be sure to. So that's why it's so important to read every day and absorb your mind in Krishna. So that during the day we learn to be in contact with Krishna. Without connecting your emotions with Krishna, some of them can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. What's the Krishna life from Hungary?
I have a question in connection of the original topic of final of this Krishna Sriya. We heard in one of the lectures that the miseries which comes into a devotee's life is always sent by Krishna. It is not our karma. And I would like to see this clearly and understand this clearly, how Krishna acts in our life in case of miseries and also in case of...
In case of what?
Miseries and yes. In case of happiness.
Happiness,
also.
Yes.
Because good things also happen in our life, not only bad things. And it is always... everything always has to do something with Krishna, or this here has some karma also. This karma point there. But,
how nice, Minion. We just read, but I would like to read it again because I really thought this was tribulations offered by the Lord to his devotees are different from the tribulations resulting from bad karma, vicious action. And Krishna says, I put my devotee into difficulty, and thus the devotee becomes more purified. Now your question is it always coming from Krishna, the difficulties, or is it maybe still our karma? This is a very difficult question, Krishna Raya. One way to understand it is that Krishna takes our karma and then gives it to us at a point when we need it to see something. For instance, this morning I burned my finger, and this is you know becoming already out the whole thing, and I was really hot and really painful. I put something on my Kopri Vati on it. And I was thinking, now, is this my karma that I burned my finger? And I thought, no, just this morning I was thinking about your question, Krishna Raya, therefore I feel I can give a well thought out answer. And I thought, no, it is Krishna showing me. Because I was again preaching very heavy to the devotees. Maybe you heard the very. And you know, when I burned my finger, I understood you should be more kind to your audience. You're always getting on their nerves. And so immediately I saw this as a sign of Krishna. And I'm very happy with this sign. You know, the index finger is used to point. There's one devotee here in I don't want to say his name. Whenever he speaks to me, he goes like this. in a nice way. He's not from Zagreb, he's from another town. And because he wants to point me. The elderly gentleman. So yeah, this is the pointing finger, and when it's burnt, it The point here, Krishnamaya, you, and you're, because you're all a devotee, I will get now a little subtle. Fasten your seatbelt. Many of you will not understand what I will say now, but you are all a devotee, you can understand that something. See, you will see the world also according to your faith. When you are very faithful devotee, any little thing which happens, you relate it back to Krishna. Because your understanding is Krishna is behind everything. And then for a faithful devotee, when something happens, he immediately understands Krishna is teaching. And he is right. For an unfaithful devotee, he sees other sources and he is also right. It's a reality, is not black and white. It is very subtle. So, like you know, it is going to be said that we say something which has the ring of truth, and then the telephone, then there is a noise. Boom, we say, confirmed. Have you heard this? Yeah. All the devotees do this. Have you heard them saying this? Why do they say this? Someone, a normal person would say, confirmed? My God, the mobile phone rang. The person forgot to switch out his mobile phone, and the mobile phone received SMS. What is confirmed? This is a normal technological phenomena. And he's right. But for the devotee who sees like this, Krishna is behind all causes. He's also right. We can only move because of Krishna. Everything moves because of Krishna. So you need to decide, do you want to be faithful and in Krishna consciousness? Then everything is, for you is Krishna's mercy. Like the Prabhupada, you remember, he said, when he had just built his pharmaceutical factory, he made medicines, and before he could insure it, it burned down. What was Prabhupada's reaction? He didn't think, well, we have to find out, you know, maybe get a detective, and see what started the fire, who started the fire. He said, this was Krishna showing me I should surrender to him. That was his perspective. And a faithful devotee will be like this. And he's absolutely right. He lives in a different world already. He lives in the world of faith. It's a better world than the world of no faith, I can only say. The philosopher said, okay, the devotee, the philosopher Pascal says, devotee believes that there is a God. He believes it. The atheist believes that there is no God. Still, if there is a God, it's better to believe in him. And also, he says, a spiritual person who is conscious of God lives a much better life. This is a materialist. It's not my argument. I've just said another perspective. What I want to express here, the faithful devotee sees the Lord everywhere. Like Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu said, where is your God? He said, everywhere. Hiranyakashipu didn't see the Lord everywhere. It was too abstract. He said, is he there in this pillar? Why be so abstract? Let's be concrete, normally concrete. And not really saying a little more concrete, please. And it is said by one commentary, Prahlad looked at the pillar and saw the smiling face of his Lord. Yes. He's so faithful. You know, he was a pure devotee. He was not like a normal person. You know, yes. was like, oh God, this is nonsense. I mean, he's not there. I can see that he's not there. And then Hiranyakashipu went to show that he's not there. And we know he was there. Very much. Through the mercy of Shraddha Devi, we will see Krishna. And we have no Shraddha. We will not see. Devotee will look at the world and says, I see only Krishna. And the young devotee will look at the world and say, I see only Maya. Both are right. It depends on the level of consciousness. Sometimes we hear, have you heard different lectures? Some will say, there's all Maya. Others say, oh Krishna, taste in water. He says, fragrance of the flower. You know, they only talk about Krishna. Both are right. This was an answer to Krishna, because he is a faithful Vaishnavi.
In times of difficulties when I face challenges, I often think that, okay, this is Krishna's plan, I need to accept this, and all these good qualities that come with it, tolerance, etc. And from the outside, I accept.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think because of this, it seems to me that I became passive in my life.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think, okay, this is Krishna's plan, everything, these arrangements, and I just need to accept, to become tolerant. But sometimes I think maybe Krishna wants something else from me. Maybe Krishna wants that I act, mm-hmm. that I speak out. That I bite for my beliefs, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know. So, but as I said, I'm very passive because of this, because I think this is Krishna's plan, I need to accept and not bite.
So,
what is Krishna's plan?
What a wonderful question, really wonderful. Thank you for this question. Since, you know, this, we are now amongst a little older devotees, so let us talk a little for older devotees. But yeah, I will give you a personal answer to this question. What I have, the way I understand spiritual life in the material world is that you have to act on that there are different levels at the same time. Like we are spiritual souls, we are totally transcendental, but we have a body also, and we need to take care of the body. So this is an example of parallel worlds, almost parallel realities. And all the realities have to be taken care of. I noticed when this was really a bad burn this morning. It was really 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 bad. And then I thought, I better put immediately some medicine, and then it doesn't, you know, blow up, you know. And I put some cream, then Lord Govinda said that we have a better cream, and then I took the bare old cream up out and put the new cream. And all the time I thought, Krishna, thank you very much for giving this experience to me. I know exactly why you gave it. I feel that in my heart I should be more, you know, and so on and so forth. But on the other level, the material level, I got the cream, you know. So this is a very simple, maybe groovy example, even a little. It's not very, has not many, not very rich the example, but I think there are things. To be very honest, in this situation, I came here, you know, I have a certain I have a certain mission by being here. I'm not here. It is totally out of plan, for I had something else to do, but I thought, no, let me go here. And I can see also the situation has many levels of reality. On one level, you need to deal the way it is dealt, you know, that here is our movement and we need to keep the we need to go sit, and all attempts were made to deal in the best way with the situation. I can see and I can congratulate all the devotees. And then there's another level. How do we take care of bleeding hearts, of whoever it is, you know? And both need to be taken care of, I think. The decisions are right and good, and so on. That's the only way to solve such situations. And then there's other levels of reality. And it's always like this, Arjun. So yes, in one way, in your family life, you need to see, and there are some situations where you have to, okay, what will work best now? And the other is, there may be other realities where you feel we need to have a serious talk about this. Let us do it like this. But let us also have a... I can't think of a good example. But isn't it that we say buddhi praktikani? We have to solve things practically, and then we have to solve things emotionally also. Am I clear? Like in the education of a child, you have to say, this does not work. And you have to be strong in this. And then the child sits in the corner. No, why didn't you get it? Why didn't you give me cola? You were already so fat. If you get more cake or whatever it is. Maybe that's not a good example. You know anything. You know anything. If you say to the child, sometimes the child, we cannot give sweets more. There's already enough sweet. And then you say, okay, you cannot eat now more sweets, it's not good for you. But why don't we go in the park and, you know, different realities. And if the world would be so simple, Arya. Not so simple, Arya. This is as good as, so yes, you have to accept this Krishna's mercy, and in some cases you have to say, listen now, this is Krishna's mercy, yes, but listen, this is how to end in this situation rightly, you know, and you have to speak out like this. And then to know what and how much and so on. Yeah, all have to grow. I want to tell you a spiritual bit. Yes. Is it okay? Is it real loud?
Yes.
It's a spiritual humor. Listen very carefully because it's a little subtle. So the policeman comes to it. You have to help me. I'm not. Is it called a cabrio, which has an open? Open? Yeah. So he comes, there's a red car from Italy, and it's open somehow, Capri. And he sees the driver with the sunglasses in there. And he's really
it's really true. He said, can I see your papers? And the driver gives him his papers, his passport or his driver license. And he gets more confused, the poor policeman. Because on the papers, he sees a gusiniche. On the photo, you know, a caterpillar. Yeah. And he looks at the driver, who is a butterfly, and the driver says, ah, that's an old photo. It's nice, huh? You please tell to your daughter in the appropriate words, you know. Means he was once a goose in Nietzsche, and he has grown and matured, transformed, and came out as a butterfly. And we all have to, we are all goosenitches, as a material word. We have to grow, and it is sometimes a little painful to grow, but when Krishna says that's our situation. But let us look at the world with the eyes of faith, that everything is Krishna's arrangement, and then we are Krishna conscious Adya, and then we can solve everything, even the relative things on the level, on the other level of reality, in a Krishna conscious way, and it'll be nicer for everyone. Good. We are also, we are not as late as we were, but that was necessary to have this kind of thing. I really want to thank you so much, and my great gratitude goes to all the devotees who arranged this program. I really know that you did tremendous arrangements, even bringing the Radha Kunya Vihari on the altar because it's a festival. All the details, driving, hosting so many extra guests who came, making a wonderful, I think a very positive festival. And my greatest thanks goes, I mean, I now he's not there, so I can say, this man is a jewel. Mm-hmm. Do you agree?
Yes. Yes.
This man is a jewel. Our Krishna Chaitanya. Oh, such a good heart. We can understand what is a Vaishnava when we see this. No, it's very enlightening for me. Perhaps we should. Yesterday we had a very nice meeting with the devotees in organizing and managing positions, and they also found it very nice that two God brothers talk together. Maybe it's something which in our movement we can suggest. I think devotees like them. Of course, when they always have different opinions on every different little thing, it's a little maybe. Well, if it's nicely spoken, it's also highly intriguing. But if it's, it must be done. But the idea is harmony. The devotees want to see harmony, and they want to see it at the top, and they want to, then they feel inspired. Dobro. Good. So I thank you all very much, and let us take some prasadam now and do everything else. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Gaura Vidyaya ki jai, Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.